We'll call the meeting to order. Regular meeting, June 4, Communications and Technology. Comments from the public. We'll take those as we go if you'd like, but if you have something else you want to comment on, now's a good time. Anybody? Okay. Item 3, monthly website and social media update. Is this the one that's in the additional part of the packet?
Yes, this is an addition. Oh,
you brought it up. Okay, good.
Yeah. This is an addition to the packet because, and the reason that this will come out late sometimes is because the statistics aren't available until the first day of the month, the 1st of June. So I couldn't put them up on May 29th because they're not available.
Right.
So looking back at last month, we had about 1,000 more views on our website total, but the way they stack up is exactly the same as it was last month. And then here are, again, let me go back over here. It's the same as it was last month for where people looked at us from. So what's going on in Virginia? I do not know. Oh, I'm sorry. Last month, Oregon was number 3. And this month is number 9. So it changes a little bit. It's just our same friends looking at us. And our Facebook went down a little bit, 4% on our total, on our page views, and 11% on page previews. But I expect that that'll go up this month.
I noticed you did get 200 plus hits on Paul's new development site. That's pretty encouraging.
That is.
So, I was happy to see that.
That's nice, yeah. And then Facebook just keeps rolling along. We're up a little, we're up in page likes, and we're up a ton in post reach. So our posts, and is this a product of posting more things? I don't know.
What is the actual definition of post reach?
I know that an engagement, a post engagement, means that somebody clicked on the page and opened the page. They didn't, it just wasn't scrolling through on their feed. So a post reach, I believe, is that it made it out to your feed. You know how when you're looking at Facebook, all kinds of whatever stuff, everybody that you're friends with comes up. So.
And it means that that's where they stopped, correct?
Post reach just means that it showed up on their feed.
Okay.
Post engagement means that they stopped and they clicked on it and they opened up that page.
Okay.
So it could be, and it probably is, related to how many things I posted last month.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get, so if we put like Jeff's announcement, up there and we if they went through and read that announcement, that would be a post engagement, correct?
That's right. Yes. If they clicked on it and opened that up, that's an engagement.
Okay. All righty.
So and that probably accounts for a lot of it is the DUI one that had a lot of engagements last month. And
right.
So did the what about social unrest that I put up on Friday?
Yeah, and I had put on the one of those Murrieta websites when they had that whole string concerning the DUI thing. I did go on there and basically put a reference to that and a reference to what that pipeline we did. I think it was in March of 2018.
It was September 2019 was the last time I ran that article.
Okay.
It gets run annually.
Okay.
The security and what the security department does and their responsibilities and how far they go, that runs approximately annually. We'll talk about that more in a later agenda item.
Okay. All right. Any questions on this? Okay. Take me back to the agenda on your...
How about...
Security Department communications about handling of DUIs.
Yeah, okay. Comments?
Yeah, I wanted to throw in, you know, the recent things that we've been dealing with too. This is Linda, by the way. I thought that Amelia did a great job explaining to the community what happens when you get pulled over for a DUI in this community. And I'm very pleased to see it was straight facts. It was no emotion. It was very well done, Amelia. And
it was Jeff and who orchestrated.
Oh, okay,
that.
Sorry about that.
I am but the minion, remember?
Well, okay. So I thanked the wrong person.
We'll remember that, by the way.
Okay.
So here's how it works. I write it, Amelia proofs it, makes me look good, then she posts it.
Okay.
Well, thanks to both of you.
Fair enough.
And also goes, if I can throw this in, for the stuff that's gone on this week. And I really think that, again, that was handled extremely well.
Thank you.
Well, you know, you got to get some kudos now and then.
Part of that, I would, Amelia, and I don't know if we, let me see, look, we don't particularly have this. I was going to say it would be good, I think, if we turned that annual
article in the pipeline.
Yeah, the one, the list of security responsibilities. Mm-hmm. If we turn that into something that we could perpetually put on the website, because it, you know, in all the years I've been here, that never goes away. I mean, people either never learn it or you know, we have a lot, you know, we have a lot of turnover. We have a lot of people coming, a lot of people going. So, So this ought to go someplace along with the compatible to the DUI ones, so that we can reference it and just send people there arbitrarily whenever it comes up.
This is right. Jeff, by the way, just John and Linda. I've been talking to Amelia about that particular article, and it was last ran in September. We were already mm-hmm. planning on running it again at the next pipeline before these last two events popped up. Because I'm kind of like what John's saying, and I talked to Amelia, that we're going to try to plan on running that every 6 months. You know, get it out there twice a year so that it stays fresh.
Yeah,
that's great. That's great.
That's a good idea. But I would also, Amelia, do the same thing you did with the DUI one. And so when one of these incidents hits social media, somebody can simply say, you know, oh, if you don't know what Rancho Murrieta's security department does, go to the CSD website, click here and read all about it. So.
We do have on the website, on the main page under services provided, the security department, there's a whole page about the security department, but I will add this article to, you want me to add it to that page or?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll leave that to you. Some of these more relevant, popular things, the easier it is to get to them, the better. I mean, where we don't want them to have to go is into that god-awful search condition or back into the website to go looking for this stuff, because I use it probably more than anybody and I can't find half of what I'm looking for. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that as a permanent tile on the front page.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Since we are talking about communications, I've had feedback from residents that have called me specifically about the notice of vacancy of the board of directors and said that they can't find it on there. So it's in that rotating carousel slideshow, And so I've put it as a permanent tile on the front page too, so that people don't have to just hopefully see it as it rotates through.
Right.
It's a non-moving target now.
Yeah. Some of those, you know, that whole rotating tile thing, and not just for us. I mean, we're not certainly not the only ones that use it, but when you start getting more than a few of those, it becomes frustrating. If there's six or seven and you happen to log into the website and see it just as it's disappearing, it's, you know, you're going to sit there for 45 seconds till it comes back around, you know? So, yeah. So that's, you know, anything you're really trying to hammer home with folks, that permanent tile is probably a better idea.
I'm learning that.
Yep. It's a new world.
It's a whole new world. And I think that Become More is engaging people more on the website.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and we want to encourage that. I mean, I think we're getting a little bit of traction there where we never really, I mean, that thing lied fallow for years and it's starting to see some activity, and the more we stimulate that, the better off we're going to be. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hello. I have a comment on the article, the role of the district security department.
Okay.
But people that live outside the gate, I find that a little bit misleading, especially for people moving into the community. Like people are moving in, a lot of people moved into Murrieta Gardens recently. And I think for them, it's going to leave them with a lot of questions. And after a year or two, they're going to figure it out and they're going to say, hey, that was pretty misleading. And the fact is, the question that should be answered for them is, what does the security department do for them? And incidentally, what do they get for the money? And the bottom line is they have, the security department has somebody drive through there a few times a day. And all of this other stuff is kind of misleading. And I think that's one of the things that leads to some dissatisfaction in the community, that, you know, there's all this that, you know, you do all this and this and this, and but the bottom line is, what do you do? And bottom line is not very much. And after you find that out, it's kind of frustrating. And I think if this were being, you know, Rancho Murrieta is more than RMA, and this seems to be aimed at people that are members of RMA, and people outside of RMA, they kind of doesn't get to the point.
Well, number one, I don't think that's exactly correct. But number two, that's a security discussion. I mean, if someone wants to revamp security and as a result of that, we wind up revamping this document, which is the role of the district's security department, you know, I guess we'll do that. But you know, I don't, number one, Richard, I don't agree with that completely. I don't agree with it mostly, not partly. But that's another discussion in another place. I do take out of what you just said, perhaps a somewhat of an introduction to those 50 existing houses that we might think about doing. But, you know, and I don't know in terms of feasibility or whether, you know, we think about sending them once to the existing residents, a welcome letter from security. And here's who we are. Here's what we do. Here's how you get a hold of us. If you want more information, here's the website. I know we have a packet.
A welcome package. Yeah.
And I haven't looked at it in about 25 or 30 years. So maybe we ought to, as part of communications at some point, maybe we ought to put that packet into the agenda, take a look at it, and see what's in there. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to comment on that. There is a welcome packet, and in that welcome packet, there is a letter from me covering security, what we do in general, you know, 24-hour patrols, we operate the gates, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the phone numbers on how to contact us if you need a patrol officer to respond. I think it even references the website for information. And there's also an attachment on how to sign up for gateaccess.net program. With the new homes and the gardens, because they don't use gateaccess.net because they don't live in the RMA area, I had to modify that letter just for that neighborhood. So it does go out in their welcome packet. And as a matter of fact, what we encourage them to do is, even though they don't have barcodes, they don't have access to the gate, we still encourage them to fill out a form that was the permanent guest list type of form that was somewhat modified for them, so that we can still have their information in our database in case we go to their house on an alarm call or find a door open or, you know, something like that. We know if we find a car, we can run that license plate and know where that car belongs to. So we have modified our basic info for that new housing development.
Right.
This is, wait, this is Linda. Can I just squeak in there? Basically, I think what I'm hearing is that it's really two things. It's whether or not we are provide what kind of service we're providing in terms of security. And I think the idea that, you know, we have the welcome packet, and Jeff, it sounds like you've been on top of that. But we may want to just provide a simplified list of, these are the services that we provide for the village. These are the services that we, you know, and they're probably similar, I would imagine. And for the retail community too. But whether or not they're happy with that is, like John said, that's a whole other subject. But we need to make sure that they understand what they're paying for. That's, keep that, those two things separate.
If I may chime in, can I chime in? I just looked at the letters that Jeff's talking about, and they were updated in January and March of this year.
Okay.
So, and they go through exactly what Jeff talked about, but I think maybe we can take a look at that and make like a little bulleted list of what happens here and what happens there, kind of like when you're comparing refrigerators on Amazon.
And then can we make sure we provide that to the village and to some sort of central clearing ground for the gardens, so they have copies of that, and they can inform the community if the community asks them.
You know, we can create a stuffer, Linda, for the next treatment run, and we can also we can also include it as an attachment. Or a link attachment, just like we do, you know, for the emails. But, you know, everybody also gets a pipeline, the emails and the paper statement folks, they all get a pipeline at statement time. So,
and the other thing is that I don't know where the gardens, if they have a central, you know, office or someplace where things that are important to that part of the community. But I do know that the village has an office, and we could just make sure that it goes also directly to the office and to their association.
And by the way, this is Tom talking, for those who don't know my
voice. I know. And this is Linda.
And this is Jeff. Yeah, Linda, that's the, right now the gardens doesn't have any.
Okay.
That letter, when we modified it, we just mailed it to everybody. Cause there's not that many, homes, relatively speaking. And whenever we have anything that needs to be published or put out information at the village, it usually goes to Barb, the manager.
Yeah.
And then she disseminates it and posts it on the bulletin board and things like that. So that's
perfect.
Easy to take.
Perfect.
That's easy to take care of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I will.
Richard, does that say?
Go ahead, Linda.
I was just going to ask Richard if that satisfies at least a portion of what he was talking about. What he's interested in?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
What I was bringing up was no issues with security. I'm just, you know, communicating to different parts of the community what
this. And what we're saying is we get it. Oh, okay. We get it. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it was clear for you too.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, Tom, I have a question. Just, do we have the ability, or do we have what we used to call mailing lists? So when we want to communicate with a specific part of the community, we know who those folks are.
Yes.
Do we do break it out? Like, we know if we said we want to send something to the 50 residents of the gardens, we could do that, or we want to send something to the village, we could do that.
Yes. We have the ability to pull all the addresses out of the utility billing system on an on-demand basis. And I believe that it comes out as a worksheet, and we do a mail merge. This is how we do the Prop 218 notices.
Right. Okay. That's right. Yeah.
And I do believe that worksheet includes the type of unit, and the gardens too is a separate type of a unit.
Yeah. Okay.
You can do mailings like that fairly simple, fairly easy.
Okay. So,
great.
Are we ready to move on to five?
This is Amelia. Can I just get a little clarification? I will, I'll get a list of bulleted list of what services are provided to which different members of the community. I'll add that to the pipeline, and I will, do you want me to put the welcome packet on next month's agenda, John?
No, we got too much. Put it out, but I do want to do it, but let's do it like in September or something.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we got too many things going on here. Okay, not just here, but everywhere.
Perfect.
Okay. We ready to go? Next item?
Yep. I am.
Okay.
Budget message communication discussion. This is my item. And we provide information on the budget in quite a variety of places. And most of them are fairly complicated because of the budget has five different divisions, and we have these spreadsheets. We have all this historical stuff, but in general, when we do the budget, we produce PowerPoints to give to the board, and that kind of outlines what we're up to. And we produce spreadsheets, and those get posted in the budget page. But what Linda's asking for, and it came up, is another form of communication on where the budget's at today, or what's happened in the past particular time frame. And so rather than try to imagine what is all the message that people want to see, I talked to Linda, and we talked about having a discussion, a quick discussion in this meeting, and then Cindy and I will go back and work on developing a draft format. But it'd be nice to have some consistency in what we need to keep updated. So I just wanted to talk about it. And Linda, this is kind of the thing, so I wanted to talk about it in this format. So
thank you.
So the one item that comes up every year that we need a more effective way to deal with is the notice of preparation that we sent out initially. It has been historically impossible for people to understand that is a first notice and not the final budget. I mean, the whirlwind that occurs around that is partially because, and I've seen them, I mean, we were in that preliminary, I think we were at like $7.85 or something, this budget cycle. We've been much higher than that in other cycles, and it creates this whirlwind partially because people are not aware that, you know, by law we have to initiate this first notice, and that there can be changes and there can be public input. So it's nothing we need to do until we do this again in about 11 months or 10 months, but when you're going through that stuff, Tom, try and keep in mind that we need to somehow, in some more dramatic sense, communicate that it is the first pass. And maybe in very simplistic language, we can explain what the overall process is, the three steps that we go through, you know, the first pass, the second pass, the public hearing, and then the vote.
Okay. I was listening.
Go ahead.
This is Linda. I was listening in on the finance committee on Monday with it. And there were a lot of people on the line, and we've had a lot of interest in the budget this year. And I don't know how we managed to get that to happen, I guess, because there was an increase. But we've had increases in the past. And so I was pleased to see that people were paying attention, you know, that there was activity around what are you guys doing and why are you doing it and what does this, you know, does this make sense, doesn't it? So I think as long as we are at least reaching out to the community and explaining, you know, what's, like John said, this is a first run by, you know, but we have to get what we got, which was great. People paying attention and getting involved and saying, you know, what about this? What about that? That to me was really good news, even though some of it wasn't positive. It was positive that people were paying attention. So I thought that meeting was very, very good. I just think that it's, you know, we can't get to people unless they want to participate. So anytime we can figure out a way to say, like John said, again, you know, this is a first run by, please, you know, pay attention to this, look at this. If you have questions, ask them. I just think that, like I said, it's really good to have that involvement and communication, even though it makes, you know, it's more work sometimes, but lots of good things come out of that.
Well, the other part of that we'll work on for the next pass is this whole question of communicating on budget issues through email. I mean, I personally would look to encourage the communication, even though, you know, if you know, the rules as established by 218 stipulate that emails are not allowed, in a sense that you can't use an email to gather 50% dissent on a budget to override it. I mean, which is, if you think about that, a remarkable feat in itself. But it doesn't mean that we're not interested in comments from the public if we receive them in the form of an email. As we go forward, Tom, and as you're gathering all this information so that we do this in a better way next time, I mean, that's something I'd like to consider.
Well, the fear there is that if you know, 1,000 people send us an email, probably 900 of them are going to be expecting an answer. And the staffing would require to sit there, and, you know, you almost need like 5 or 6 telephone operators sitting there with the switchboard saying, okay, here's another email to answer. What's our canned answer?
Yeah, but I don't, I think if it's structured properly, you can, you know, obviously we're not going to answer 900 emails. It has to be communicated in a way where the comments are encouraged. I mean, quite frankly, we take verbal comments even in normal days when we used to have live meetings. We would take verbal comments with people standing right in front of us, and then they would sit down. We don't comment on everything we get. I don't know what the real answer is, but I'm just saying I'd like to consider that, because I'm more interested in gathering public opinion. You know, I the 25 letters, and you know, I've been involved in it for a long time. It's not a big number, but in as it relates to all the other years that we've done this, it's a big number. It takes a special effort to sit down and write a letter and either hand deliver it or put it in the mailbox. And we got 25 of those. So, you know, just that's really all I wanted to do with that, but I would just keep it in mind.
John, this is Linda. Maybe there's a difference between what we're dealing with by law, et cetera, and what we get as comments or points of interest, et cetera, from email. I don't know how long it would take, but you know, you could put them in categories and say, and let people know that we cannot answer all of these emails, that that we will look at them and read them and put them in the category that we have for this concern, that concern, this concern. And it will all get looked at and, you know, and put into the system, so to speak, but so that we know what parts of the budget people are most concerned about.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
does it make any sense?
Yeah, no, it does. If you gather enough information, you get the luxury of establishing trends and you can,
right.
You can do that. But at any rate, that's kind of what's in my thinking. I don't want to beat it to death, but you know, any opportunity we would have to get to garner public opinion on these items would be beneficial. So,
okay. And I want to say that the Prop 218 notice is what we're talking about. That I don't think that format has changed in 20 years.
No, it hasn't.
But it's a good, you know, if this is the direction you want us to go, Cindy and I will work on, we'll find some messages that seem to have a lot more clarity, and we can at a point in time come out with an example. So when we do go forward with the budget, we start working on the budget in November and December. When we are there in March issuing the Prop 218 notice, we can have something that is more pleasing to the eye or have more clarity. So we can work on that.
Right. And I would put that, Amelia, somewhere where we know that at the beginning of the next budget cycle process, which like Tom said, is probably December, that we have a conversation at that point about, you know, how we can better communicate this information.
I'm happy.
To the December Finance Committee agenda so that we have a tickler to remember
right.
to talk about that.
Right, for the December Zoom meeting.
For the December, God, back live in December.
Okay. Let's go to six, unless there's any questions or comments. Consumer confidence report. Tom, is that you?
No, I'll jump in on that. This is Paul.
Oh, okay.
So the consumer confidence report is a report on the water quality for the previous year. Oddly, the state regulations require that it gets submitted by January or July 1st of the following year. So it's a lot of data in the past that's occurred, but that's the same for every public water system in the state. And so as part of getting that information out there, there's new, when I say new for the past 6 years, available ways of doing it versus having, you know, 2,700 mailers go out, that now we can put it on the billing, put a web link on our billing and just a small information there and reference where it is on our website. And that's it. It's
okay.
pretty straightforward. It just takes a lot of effort to put the report together. But other than that, it's pretty simply conveyed to the public.
When we do that on the bill, could we have a statement on there that for anyone who is not living on the internet, that they could request a copy by mail. Is that feasible?
Absolutely. Yep. If
all right.
There's there's a limited amount of text space, I believe, in the notes section of the bill. You know, maybe someone else can comment on that. But I think we have so many characters that we're allowed to kind of fit in that spot.
Right.
Okay.
And Paul, the answer to that is the current message going out has been repeated, I think, twice. And it has to do with the COVID-19 issues. So if you were to read that statement, you would see that's pretty much how large of a message we can put onto the statement in that space.
Okay.
Okay.
And yeah, however, I mean, you guys can figure out how you want to do it, but I just want to make sure that we cover that small segment anymore that just has no access to the internet.
Go ahead.
This is Linda. Pretty much the things that we put into the our webpage and stuff really needs to also go on the pipeline. Not everything, but pretty much a lot of it. And I think that it's just another way to communicate, since we're doing it, that we need to rotate things around on that pipeline, just like we do on the website. Hello?
Yeah, I agree. I know the pipeline has been static for the last few months because of COVID-19.
Totally understandable. Totally understandable. I try
and mix it up. And also, I know it's been really wordy and not very visually exciting or stimulating. I haven't had a lot of room for a lot of pictures because I've got so much news, so much juicy, meaty news I want to get out to everybody. So hopefully I can put more fluff in it moving forward if, you know, things are going to calm down.
Yeah. I think that it's not really fluff. It's like, I know you didn't really mean that it wasn't important stuff, but it's to make sure that I feel like we need to have sections in the that are things that happen all the time and like get put into the pipeline under, for instance, development, or, you know, I know we're not doing that right now, but certain sections that get repeated every month, and
like
that
the
section stays
board meeting updates. Every month I have a section in there about what.
Right. So there could be a section for miscellaneous information, and this could go into that. I don't know. I don't mean to make you redo the entire pipeline, but it's just I keep thinking that we keep coming up with good new things, and I just want to make sure that we get as much opportunity to send it to the community as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so much of what we do is exciting that we should be communicating it.
Yes. I'm overwhelmed with excitement. I can barely stand it.
Are we okay with that? Any comments on 6?
No.
COVID-19 communication plan?
That's me.
Okay.
The communication plan has pretty much remained static from last month. It's in the pipeline. We just talked about it, the front page of the pipeline. The things that we're doing to help the community with COVID-19 are... we have the pay agreements, of course, that are available. And Tom, have we had any pay agreements asked for yet?
No.
We've suspended lock-offs, but it seems, I haven't heard that folks aren't paying their bills. The message in the pipeline states that the front office is closed. We're not accepting cash payments at this time. But other than that, things are rolling just as they always have been within the district. The message runs on Facebook. It's pinned to the top of our Facebook page. And it's on the carousel, on the slideshow, on the website. and not only, you know, what we're doing, but the pay agreements is on the website and Facebook. So the information is out there for everybody. Internally, to keep our staff safe, we're taking steps to prepare the office for reopening. Yay! We've got sneeze guards ordered, which are those kind of plexiglass sheets ordered or being manufactured. I think Ron is working on those. And hand sanitizers will be permanently installed in the admin building, like four in the admin building, and then on all of the buildings where staff goes in. Plus, we'll have disposable masks, face masks available for anybody who comes in and needs a face mask.
Okay. Can I ask, RMA has to, or does also do an update, et cetera. I was wondering if there was some way that RMA and CSD could kind of come together on that and maybe share some of the information that we don't get, that RMA gets, or vice versa, in terms of what parks are open and closed, and, you know, what parts of the parks are still, you know, under quarantine, et cetera. And, you know, what they're doing, and we can share the same information with them, that we could kind of pull this off and do something together.
I'll talk to the RMA about that.
Okay.
Okay.
I sent Denise and Barb over at RMA and Barb over at the Village. I send them our pipeline every month so that they can stay involved and know what we're saying to everybody.
Amelia, you can also with those other entities suggest that we all share links to each other.
Share information. Website. Right. Right.
When are you going to meet with Denise and Tom? Do you want to talk to her about sharing links to each other's websites, or do you want me to reach out to Denise?
No, I'll talk to Denise. Okay. When is like, you know, in the next few days?
Yeah, okay. You have, you know, the way we're going, you probably have several years to get this going.
We'll probably be done with COVID by then, hopefully.
Okay. Item 8, Reservoir Education Ad Hoc Committee signage. Linda, that would be you, I think.
It's you too.
I know, but go ahead.
Okay, hang on a second. Let me get that pulled up.
And Linda shared with the committee members this. So she did prepare a little memo for the committee.
Okay, so those of you who
share this, Linda?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's maybe what we were doing, but I have mine on.
It's posted right now. It's up on the
great
dial is, you know, on the computer.
So as I said in the beginning, it evolved, this proposed ad hoc committee evolved from John's idea of educating residents about our reservoirs, and I got myself involved and said, okay, let's take this opportunity to maybe go a little deeper and a little further and come up with my vision, and John's too, I think, to gather and review information. We all have stuff that we know, and there's stuff that's, you know, in print or in places where we don't always have access to, and the idea being that we would like to really look at the information relating to the health and quality of the reservoir water. It doesn't mean that the water's bad, or that we think that it should be different or better or whatever. It's just an opportunity on this committee to gather the information and look at what's going on, and see that, just double check and make sure we're doing the right stuff. And to use that information to educate our residents. We've had continued experiences with people, you know, pushing the limits, that the dock on Chesbro, and, you know, people not doing catch and release. And there's just a ton of things that go on out there that we don't, it doesn't help us as far as making sure that the water is where it's supposed to be, et cetera. And and basically following the rules. So that's where I got to with this. I think that it will be a little bit different kind of an ad hoc committee. I think John and I, and hopefully Paul, your offer still goes along. We'll organize the topics for review. We won't do them all at once. I'm going to try to find a sort of a flow of doing this. And I listed most of the things I could think of that affects our reservoirs, and a little bit of history would be helpful too, probably for the community, but get this and put it in sections or pods or whatever you want to call it, and get outside help to help, you know, people in the community. There are some people in the community who are knowledgeable about this, and then there's also organizations like the fishing group that I'm sure could be of help to our efforts on this. Paul, I know you will be fantastic, and when we get to the point where we can put something together that we can present to the whole community, I think that would be really kind of an exciting thing. And in that, all of that process, we'll be working on putting up signage. We need to really have a lot of help from RMA and on where the signs can go. They want to be involved, from what I understand. And so this could be a really good opportunity to see what the whole community looks like and how we can make sure that our water supply stays as good as it is and maybe even gets a little better. So that's what this was all about. I really want to know if people think this is a good process, because there's no point in going through all of this if it's not something that anybody can see could be useful to us. And I need a name. Everything I come up with is way too long. And and if there's any other topics, you know, that people want to put in there, this is really an opportunity from my perspective anyways, and I think John's, to let people know, okay, this is RMA land and you can't do this and you can do this, and RMA supervises that, this part. And, you know, maybe it's something we do that isn't illegal or isn't bad for the water, but maybe it isn't necessary. There's just, in my mind anyways, there was a whole lot of opportunity here to really look at what we do, why we do it, and how we can just keep it at least as good as it is, but hopefully a little bit better.
Part of what I think we need to get a handle on is we've gone through a period where we've had an amazing increase, and again, it's at this point qualitative information, not quantitative, because we don't actually have counts on this stuff. But the reservoirs are experiencing an incredible increase
right. In
the amount of use and enjoyment that people are getting out of them. And there are parts of that that are even new. For example, you know, as it relates to body contact, well, you can't use mm-hmm. an open bottom paddle boat on Chesboro. I mean, you just can't. Mm-hmm. You can't swim in it. And you know, we've known these things for years and years, but we have, you know, had in these years and years complete turnovers in the community. And a shift in the demographic, and
right.
The communication needs to be tailored to that, and just in general use. I mean, just to think through, you know, I was on my bike on the backside of Clementia on one of those days a couple of weeks ago, at the beginning of this, where everyone was home, and there was a group of, you know, eight kayaks and associated vessels out in the middle of Clementia, which was great. But I mean, there were eight of them, you know, it was like they were tied up together and they were all swimming out there and having a good time. And that's all fine. But what's significant in that is, you know, for years and years, you would go out there and you wouldn't see a soul. I mean, so things are different. And there are things we need to do to really protect those areas, not only from the standpoint that, you know, it's a state requirement, but, you know, I don't ever want to have to start having discussions that we've gotten to the point where the rules are ignored to the point, or we have abuse to the point that we have to start talking about locking them down or punitive measures. I mean, we want these lakes to remain available for recreational use, but the only way we can do that is to really make sure people understand what they can do, and we control that. So that's really my focus, and I think that, you know, the fact that if we can have prominent signs, you know, particularly above Calero and Chesboro, that are both informative and let people know why we're telling them what we're telling them, I think that will help. There's a lot of parking up there now. There didn't even used to be that, but I mean that top area where the trail signs are. And that public bulletin board has become, you know, an area of significant use. So people are driving up there and parking. People are going up there at night now to watch the sunset. So, and then putting pictures on the internet. So things are different. That's all I got.
Thanks, John. Well, no, I think that's important, because that's the meat of what I'm hoping we can get to with these topics that we'll be discussing and getting information on, you know. It won't be everybody coming to every meeting or every gathering. My vision anyways is that we're going to take it apart and look at the different sections and get some experts or get more information from Paul and, you know, just kind of address the things that, as John said, have changed in the community and the use of these lakes and reservoirs. I don't think a lot of people understand, because of the change in the demographics, they don't pay attention or they haven't taken the time to, you know, figure out that Clementia's the recreation lake and Calero and Chesboro are not, you know, and so they're swimming and doing whatever. But I'm hoping that this is something that people will be excited about and interested in, and I'm looking forward to, we need to get together with you, Paul, and set up some kind of process if that works for you.
Absolutely, yeah. If I may chime in as well, I believe our next steps are maybe to outline a schedule that we want to meet with ad hoc members and develop a plan to move forward. And
have some ideas for
signage, but of course everybody needs to be on the same page.
Yeah.
The one other item that continues to concern me and has for a long time, but with this increase in volume and the number of boats, vessels, whatever we got out there is, you know, when you go out now, you will see it's noticeable to the point that we have enough boats in all three of the reservoirs that, you know, you notice a lot more people fishing. And I think on the surface of that, that's terrific. But you know, I always look at them and I'm, you know, I am seeing around there, I'm seeing people out there that, you know, and I live out there. So I'm seeing people I've never seen before. And that's okay in itself as well. But when you look out there and you look at those boats and you wonder who those boats belong to, and you see a small fishing boat out there, and I always wonder, well, where was the last place that boat was? Was that boat in Padaic Bay before it was here? And that continues to concern me. So that's part of the discussion we want to have. You know, I have no objections whatsoever to the use, but I really want to be careful that, you know, this, you know, in the process, as it becomes more and more popular out there, that we, you know, it doesn't get away from us.
Exactly.
Okay.
Does anybody else have anything to say?
This is Amelia. Hi, it's Amelia. It's just occurred to me that we have this welcome packet that we send out to everybody. Is there, and I haven't seen the welcome packet, but is there something in there that has a map of the community and the lakes and specifically points out what can be done in what lake?
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen it in years. But we have that for September, do we not?
Anya, come here, please.
We have
to look at the welcome packet.
Find out if what Millie or what Linda just talked about is in the welcome packet or not. Give me about 30 seconds.
Okay. I'm gonna make a sub note in my notes, John and Linda, to make sure we have
any information that we can get at the committee level would be great. The ad hoc committee level. Anything we know we have.
I'll make sure that that's in some information I send to you about this.
Okay.
Seems like, you know, you've said we have so much turnover in the community. Well, that seems like a great place to start.
Yes, it is. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're looking at the welcome packet now, and given that the lakes and such are kind of an RMA deal, and we kind of patrol it. We think it's in the RMA packet, but we could definitely add something, and I can talk to Denise about what they provide to our welcome packet, because it's not that big, you know, it's nothing to add another piece of paper to that.
Yeah.
But again, advertising specifically, you know, it's the same message. We can put it on our Facebook page, we can put it on the web page, we can put it in the pipeline periodically, but definitely we can put something in the welcome packet.
Yeah, and we might, you know, we might inquire when you're having that discussion. Maybe you want to, for your sake, Tom, because you're newer too, have them give you. It's not a welcome packet. It's a big, thick, stapled thing of paper that they give you when you move in here, just so you could peruse that and get an idea of what they're communicating as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That sounds good.
Okay. So
I guess the thing to do is for Paul and John and I to get together by phone and figure out just kind of outline a structure for the meetings and when our first meeting will be, et cetera. Is that good?
Yeah.
So okay with everybody? Yeah.
Okay.
So when do you want to talk? Next week?
Yeah, sure.
How about I send out an email and then we'll go from there.
Okay. That's good.
And let me know if you guys want me to set up a Zoom meeting for you. I will do that gladly.
Okay.
At this point, can I, excuse me a second. This is just a process question. At this point, are we allowed to be in the building if it's under five people or that type of stuff? Has that changed?
The message from the county for our type of organization, if meetings or work can be conducted at a stay-at-home status, we need to maintain that.
Okay.
So, you know, people are saying, can we meet in person and stuff like mm-hmm. that? There are a couple, there have been instances where I would say with one-on-one meetings, if the three of you or four of you want to get together in the boardroom, I don't know if that's against the rules. I can check and get back to you.
I'm happy right here. I mean, I just found out while I was doing this that Papa Murphy's is having a special on large pizzas. Just flash the screen. if we had been in the conference room, I wouldn't have known that.
Of course we can do it this way if we have to. I feel like, especially when we're just maybe throwing around ideas and trying to, get things kind of set up, that it's for note taking and things like that. I just want to would like to sit, you know, and 6 feet apart with a mask on. But I feel like it's a little bit easier if we can be in closer proximity. If it works, if it doesn't, that's fine. If anybody has objection to being in that situation, then that's also fine. So it's just something I was throwing out to see if we could do it.
Okay, I'm good either way.
Hey, okay. Linda, this That's is Jeff. Right, can I?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just, when you guys are ready, I just had a comment.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Linda's looking for a name for the group, and I just sent two ideas to Amelia. I came up with an acronym of REACH, since you're doing some outreach to the community on the reservoirs. And it's capital R-E-A. C with a little H, because I haven't figured out what H means, but it's for Reservoir Education Ad Hoc Committee.
Oh, very good. That's
the name of your team.
Wow.
Reservoir
Education Ad Hoc Committee, and then the H is just a little H, because I don't know what we can make the H stand for. It was either that or the REACT team.
Okay.
Same thing, but T on the other team. But the reach sounded better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the reach. I like the reach. Okay.
Well, maybe your next career can be in marketing.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah. I like it.
I had a boss in the music business that used to tell me that I was living proof that anyone could be in marketing. But I don't think that was a compliment. But
that wasn't a compliment.
Okay. Well, let's get going here. Comments? Any comments for directors and staff? I have none. No more.
I have one.
Go ahead.
Based on this morning and yesterday, I would request that since we're doing Zoom meetings, that every time Paul comes on, he uses his radio voice. When he's giving his talks, he's got a really good radio voice.
Okay, you heard that, Paul.
Yep. All right. Nature, John. Maybe I can find a future career.
Yeah, there you go. You could team up with Jeff, and he could do the. You can read the commercials that he writes. any comments? Any comments from the public? Anything else?
And I do have a comment,
okay.
John, this is Amelia. Right. I wanted to talk briefly about a couple of things that have happened over the last few days. We posted the social unrest article on Facebook and our website, and we had some comments back from our residents like there was a security alert. Well, there wasn't a security alert. And so I just wanted to clarify really quickly the different modes of communication that we have. The number one mode, of course, is the internet and Facebook. That gets things out to people immediately, quick messages right away. And then we have, some of the comments were, how come I didn't get an email about this? You have an email for emergencies. We don't have an email for emergencies. We have a giant email list. So when people go onto the website and click on news and updates, they can send in their email address and be added to our list. I have had one person add themselves to the list since I've been here, and that was July of last year I started. That list is used for issues like the manganese issue, that we want to send to everybody a message that says, there's been an issue with the water, here's what it is, here's what you need to do. So that's one form of outreach, but that's voluntary for them to give us their email address. Another form of outreach that we have is Code Red. And what Code Red does is it is, again, it's voluntary. They have to sign up to be part of it, but it will call the individual phone numbers that folks offer to Code Red in the community, in our zip code, and give them an automated voice message phone call. And the only time that I've seen that used was when we had the gentleman.
The fellow with the dementia or whatever.
Yeah, there was lost. And if I understand correctly, the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department instructed us to use that because that's an emergency situation. Hearing rumors on the internet that our kids are being targeted isn't really an emergency. So I did reach out to our contact at Code Red to find out how many people, this is good, interesting information, how many people are signed up for Code Red. I have 44 businesses, 4,385 residential users. For phones, I have people that have said, yes, call my phone number, 5,093. Text messages, folks that have said, send me a text message, 789. And emails, 1,806. The last time that we used it was in October 2019. 6,590 calls went out.
Yeah.
When was lost. So just like mm-hmm. a lot of numbers, everybody loves numbers.
Yeah.
Those are really interesting and good numbers too. I mean, I think that's great.
In perspective, you know, I don't know what the count's going to be at the end of this census period, but population-wise, as of the last census, and then if you add on a little, we're probably in the 6,000 range of total population. So that's uh-huh. those are fairly substantial numbers. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't, it's something maybe again in August or September, we might want to look again at the Code Red and the voluntary email and figure out like when Jeff's message went out, the one with the picture of the badge on it and all that, mm-hmm. I don't know, we should maybe establish some parameters of when we use that. I like Amelia said, I don't think we use Code Red unless it's Code Red. I mean, but right. there may be other opportunities to solicit more voluntary emails and then use that system to communicate. In addition to using the social media, we could also use the email system to send that information as well.
Yeah, I was pleased when I called the gate when I got that. And by the way, I think that Amelia made a good point. I think it was Amelia made a good point about the fact that this is social media versus a true emergency. And you can't always trust what's coming to you at social media, but also it's sometimes hard to differentiate. So I liked that they answered the gate answered the phone. They said, we're aware of it. We don't have any, you know, specifics, and it doesn't seem to be a true issue at this point. We'll keep you updated. You know, I mean, basically that's what they said to me. So I was perfectly happy with that. It was what I had thought was going on, but trying to get people to differentiate that system, you know, anything that they see on social media has to be real, you know, it's very difficult. So I thought the guys handled it really well.
Any other comments, suggestions? All righty. So then item 10 is adjournment, and we will do that. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.